This morning's sermon is from the book of Titus. As we switch to our Advent season, we'll take a little break from studying the Gospel of John. I wanted to share this passage with you from this book, the book of Titus. And this Sunday's Advent theme is on hope, as you know. And the name of the sermon is called Blessed Hope. We're going to take a look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. And the beginning of chapter 3, 1 through 8, this morning's Paul's letter to Titus and to all those in Christ Jesus. So if you brought your Bible with you, turn to the book of Titus, Titus chapter 2. If you want to use the Pew Bible, you can. It's on page 1829, or you can follow along on the screen. Titus is towards the back of your Bible. Thessalonians, Timothy, then Titus. This little gem of a book between Timothy and Philemon. This is a wonderful book, the book of Titus. This is one of my favorite books. I have 66 favorites, just in case you were wondering. And this is one of them. Let's go through the Word of God this morning. Let's take a look at chapter 2. Let's look at verses 11 through 13. Paul wrote, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Amen. How thankful we are for the grace of God. Amen. How thankful we are for the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, none of us would have a chance. None of us would have any hope without the grace of God. Paul wrote, he said, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men," all mankind. Paul wants us to know that God's grace has appeared for everyone, right? That salvation is offered to all people, right? John 3:16, right? "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Whoever, Jesus said, right? Jesus said back in John 7, as we were studying the Gospel of John, in chapter 7, verse 37 and 38, Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Jesus said, anyone, whoever comes to me. Salvation, as Paul said, has appeared for all men. So what does the grace of God teach us? Well, look at verse 12 again. It teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That's what the grace of God teaches us. Paul wants us to know that God's grace doesn't just save us, it transforms us. It is the power for change. It trains us Christians to live a different life than the world. We are called to a new way of life. Believers in Christ are urged to live with self-control, right? Discipline from within, right? We are to live upright, just, and ethical toward others, and that we are to live godly in faith with God, right? Full transformation, right? Inward, outward, upward. Paul is telling us, now that you have been saved by grace through faith in Christ, go walk in a worthy manner of your calling as a Christian. go work in a worthy manner before God. Right? You guys have heard me say that before. Being a Christian is a lifelong calling. Right? We're just not Christians on Sunday. Right? We're Christians every day. Right? It's a lifelong commitment to Christ. That's what being a Christian is. And in the meantime, look at verse 13 again. And in the meantime, keep looking for the blessed hope. Oh, keep looking for the blessed hope that you have in Jesus Christ. Keep thinking, Paul is saying, keep thinking of that blessed hope that you have in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul, when he started out this book in chapter 1, verse 2, he wrote that this blessed hope is eternal life, right? Which God, who cannot lie, he wrote, promised to those who are in Christ Jesus. The blessed hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ is predicated on God's promise to you and I, to those who have believed upon Jesus Christ by faith, and that we would receive the gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus. This is the record. This is the record right here that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son, and he who has the Son has life. Amen? He who has the Son has life. What a blessed hope. So you and I, as the Scripture tells us, as Christians, we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age as we look for that blessed hope, that eternal life that God has promised to you and me for coming to Christ. Christ Jesus, our Lord. And not only that, look at the rest of verse 13. It says, we should be looking forward to the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is speaking of His second coming. This is speaking of Jesus' second coming. So in the meantime, as we rest in this blessed hope that God has promised us, we eagerly wait for our Savior to return in glory. This is what it's saying to us, right? Could be today. Could be tomorrow. Jesus could come back 50 years from now. Maybe 1,000 years. But we are looking forward to the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the meantime. Listen to what the Apostle John wrote in his first epistle, chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. John wrote, beloved, brothers and sisters in Christ, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when Jesus is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Jesus purifies himself just as Jesus is pure. Amen. But we know, John said. He goes, oh, no, we don't think. John says, no, we know. We know when Jesus is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him for who He is. Speaking of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, how did He become our Savior? Let's take a look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, He gave Himself willingly for us. Let's stop there for a minute. Jesus became our Savior by giving His life for us. That's how He became our Savior. He laid down His life for us. Someone with perfect righteousness that had never sinned, listen, had to take the punishment that we deserve in order to satisfy the demand of God's justice. And the only one who qualified to do that, holy, harmless, undefiled. And thing. 3 days later, when God the Father raised God the Son from the dead, was proof that what Jesus did for us satisfied the demand of God's justice. Given all authority to judge the living and the dead. God the Father has given all judgment into the Son. Just 4:12 tells us, there is no other name under heaven given among men. Jesus is the only way, the only door, the only gate that we must all enter. And not only that, look at verse 14 again. Look at this. And he redeemed us, as in he purchased us from our sin. Of sin, but God has redeemed us from all of this. Paul continues to write. He said, he also purified for himself his own sin. For himself. He purified for me, you and me, belonging to God. Zealous for good works, right? Eager to do what is right. Set us apart for himself. Sanctified. For his purpose. For his plan. For us, that when God saves someone, right? He saves them on purpose. And that purpose is that we would become more and more like his Son. Now, he saved you for a reason. He had a purpose in mind. He saved you for him. He didn't save you for you. Son, Jesus Christ, for his glory. You know, the day you fell to your knees and cried out, Lord, please forgive me. I'm a wretch. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against nature, everyone. And I'm begging you to forgive me, Lord. I want to live for you. I want to surrender my life to you, Lord. And God showed up. And he saved you through your repentance and through your faith for his purpose. Not for you. He did it for him. Just as we read. He set apart. He sanctified his own special people for his possession. Zealous to do good. To be a light in the world for Jesus Christ. Amazing. The work of God in the heart of the true believer. In the heart of the true believer. Not a believer in the mind. Right? We've been reading through the Gospel of John, right? There are those who have a God in their mind, but not in the heart. That's two different types of beliefs. Right? It's inward, in the heart. Let's take a look at verse 15. Paul writes, he says, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Speak, exhort, rebuke. Three verbs identifying the need of proclamation, application, and correction by the Word of God. You see what Paul says? Let no one despise you, by the way, for belonging to me. Rebellion against the truth must be dealt with. Standing on the truth, God's word. Listen, even if it cost you, let no one despise you, even if it cost you for standing up for your belief in Christ. You may lose friends. You may lose family members. Oh, Sean, he's lost his mind. Where else? Don't invite him to Thanksgiving. We love Michelle, but he's lost his mind. Hey, don't think I'm the only one. They probably say that about you, too. Boy, I don't know what it is about him, but boy, he sure does love Jesus. Every time he comes here, we only talk about Jesus. Tell him we're not feeling good. What did Jesus say? Don't take it personal. It's me they're rejecting, not you. Wipe off your sandals. Wipe off the dust and move on. It'll be better for Sodom and Gomorrah and the day of judgment for them. Let's take a look, chapter 3. Let's go into chapter 3. This passage goes together. That's why we're in 2 in the beginning of 3. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. Paul continues, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. You see how Paul put all men, right? He didn't just say those non-Christians. No. All men. Showing all humility to all men. Paul instructs us here. He says, I want you to be subject to rulers and authority. Even when you don't agree, I want you to be obedient. I want you to be law-abiding citizens and be ready to do good, even when it's hard to that you don't want to do good. He writes, be peaceable, be gentle, be humble, be considerate to all men and women. If only everyone could do this, huh? What a better world we'd be living in, right? We're turning on the news and seeing people burn stuff down, trying to kill other people just because they got a different belief, trying to take a person's life because you have a different belief. It's demonic. Burning buildings down, burning our flag down. It's demonic. That's the devil coming inside the person. Straight out of hell. Oh, if we could all just be peaceable, gentle, humble, and considerate to all. What a better world. Let me tell you, God's going to put it back that way one day. The new heaven and new earth, there'll be no curse. It's going to be just like he wanted to be, like the Garden of Eden. And if you are in Christ Jesus, you're going to be there with him, with all the other saints. And you're going to be blown away what you see. God said, you have no idea what I have in store for you, those who love me. Let's take a look at verse 3. Oh, look at this, right? Look what Paul writes, right? A lot of truth to this verse right here. Listen, look at this, guys. For we ourselves were also once foolish. That sound like you? Sounds like me. Right? Come on, I know you guys think you're saints, but come on here. You weren't always perfect. Oh, I've been perfect since I was born. I don't think so. That's not what the Bible says. Look at what Paul writes. For we ourselves were also once foolish. Look at this. Disobedient. Yeah, that was me too. Deceived. Yeah, that sounds like me too. Serving various lusts and pleasures. That sounds like you guys. Living in malice and envy. Sounds like you guys again. hateful and hating one another? That doesn't sound like any of us. You know, sometimes we forget who we were prior to Christ, huh? Amen? Oh, I'm a perfect Christian now. Look at him. Listen, you were like him before you came to Christ. That's what the Bible says, and I believe the Bible. I'll take God's word over your word any day. And I say it in a loving way. Oh, how we forget. So Paul, he puts this in his letter to Titus and to all those who are in Christ Jesus. And he says, hey, remember, you were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Ouch. And this is a reminder to have patience and compassion on those who are still struggling with these things. That's hard to do, right? Having patience and compassion on those outside of Christ who are still struggling with these things. Paul says, hey, guys, remember, you used to be like that. So have patience. I know sometimes we're out there sharing our faith, right? I know about you, but me, sometimes when you can't get through, you know, you said the gospel, you couldn't have said it any better. I mean, like, wow, Lord, I've never said the gospel that good. And the people look at you and go, huh? And you're like, what do you mean, huh? I couldn't have said that any better. And you feel like saying, hey, God, now would be a time to send down some fire from heaven if you like. Just saying. Paul says, oh, no. You used to be like that too. Calls us right out. Don't forget who you were prior to Jesus Christ. Amen? Don't forget it. And that is how you will appreciate his grace. How a wretch like me, a holy God, would send his son to die for me so I could be forgiven. Don't take that for granted. Let's take a look. Look at this right here. So after Paul writes, says, hey, you used to act like the world. Look what he writes in verse 4 and 5. Let's take a look at verse 4 and 5. He says, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, to man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Wow, there's a lot of information right here. Two verses. A lot of information. You should be out of here by 3. Now, I've had vacation. I'm rested up, guys. You know, Paul, he wants us to know salvation is entirely by God's mercy. By God's mercy. We are saved, he says, right? Not because of the righteous things we've done, but because of God's mercy, his kindness, his love for us, he saved us. Right? According to God's mercy, he saved us. Look at this. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? It means we've been washed from our sin since coming to Christ through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, washed and cleansed by the Holy Spirit. That is the doctrine of regeneration, okay? Spiritual transformation in the heart of the believer. Regeneration, right? It is the new spiritual birth taking place in the heart of the true believer. It is becoming born again. That's the doctrine of regeneration. You were once dead spiritually like me, but we've been made alive in Christ spiritually. Okay? That's the doctrine of regeneration. That's God working in the heart of the true believer. Right? It is the It is the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in the believer, in the believer's heart. Regeneration, right? Renewing of the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit bringing you and me into conformity of the image of Jesus Christ. That's what that is. Isn't it an amazing experience to see the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Isn't it an amazing experience? Seeing the Holy Spirit at work in your life? Doing for you what you tried to do before, but you couldn't. But now you can. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Like forgiving someone. I'll just give you one example. You didn't have it in you to forgive that person you were holding a grudge against. You were taking that heart right to the grave, never going to forgive them. You didn't have it in you prior to Christ. But Christ who lives in you does. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Which means I can forgive others. If God is willing to forgive me, I can forgive them. Let it go. Give it to God and say, God, I'm done with this burden. I'm done with this hate. I'm done with this. I'm going to give it to you. You didn't have it in you to do that before. You were taking it to the grave. And I'm going to add one thing. If you haven't forgiven everyone in your life who has wronged you, you are not ready to stand before Jesus Christ. You are not ready. That's a dangerous place to be. You need to deal with it and give it to God and let it go. Wrong is wrong. I've told you guys that before. Wrong is wrong. But you need to give it to God and say, I'm done. I'm going to let you handle it, Lord. I'm not going to live with this burden anymore. And if you haven't done, I'm not talking 99% of the people. I'm talking 100%. Or you aren't ready to stand before you. Your last breath is today. You're on the outside of Christ. Because Jesus says, if you forgive others their trespasses and sins, my Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive them, my Father will not forgive you. I say that out of my love for you. No one knows what tomorrow brings. You could go to sleep tonight and not wake up. And if you haven't forgiven every single person, you're on the outside of Christ. You think you're on your way to heaven and God's angels bring you to hell. Let it go. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Regeneration in the heart of the believer. And now you can say, I sure can let it go. Here you go, Lord. And He'll handle a lot better than you can. Amen? You got to deal with it. You've got hate on your heart. You better deal with it today. I say that in a loving way. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, look at verse 6 and 7. Wow, look at this. Look at this, these two verses. Whom He has poured out on us, look at, abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, which is the gift of salvation, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit being poured out on you and me, listen, abundantly. That's not a little. That's not a little. That's a lot. That's all, more than you can barely handle. Oh, Lord, slow down. Whoa. I'm moved by your Holy Spirit. Abundantly. God baptizing us with the Holy Spirit. When we become saved, right? When we become saved, right? God baptizes us with the Holy Spirit abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And look at this. And having been justified by grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Right? Verse 5, we were saved by God's grace. Verse 7, we're justified by His grace. Justification. You know what that means? Justification? God erasing. Listen. God erasing every charge against you on your record. Erased. Wiped out. Blotted out. Every sin you ever committed. Past, present, and future. Justification. Everyone. Every single sin you've ever committed in your life. Erased. The day you truly gave your life to Jesus Christ, listen, and never look back. What's that mean? That means full surrender. That means full commitment to Christ. That means all in with Jesus Christ. Not one foot in with the world, one foot in with God. You know what God thinks of those lukewarm Christians, huh? One foot in, one foot out. He said you would have been better off not even knowing. He said, I'd rather you be cold or hot than lukewarm. Because lukewarm means you know about me, but you don't serve me. What did Jesus tell the Laodiceans in Revelation 3? You lukewarm Christians, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. Listen, you playing around in the world and playing around with God, that's a dangerous place to be. Let me tell you why. God is too holy and righteous for that. He's too holy. What did Jesus say? Before you come to me, you better count up the cost. Because I'm looking for a commitment. My son laid down his life for you. He hung on a tree, a cross, for 6 hours. No one could recognize his face for you. I expect you to be all in with him. Full commitment to Christ. Given your life. Justified in the sight of God. In good standing. With, you know what justified means, right? Think of justified like this. Just as if I never sinned before a holy God. That's what justified means. God has justified us right with him for what Jesus did for us on the cross. Justified. You know when God the Father looked at the cross when Jesus was hanging on there? He saw you and me. And now when he sees you and me, he sees Jesus. He looks at you, he sees Jesus in you. Amazing. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. Through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What a blessing. And now we have become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The blessed hope of eternal life. That's what you have. That's what you who are here, who are in Christ Jesus, you have the blessed hope of eternal life. Well, what's that mean? That means you are fully secured in Christ Jesus. Right here in his hand. Not going anywhere. You're mine, says the Lord. You know, being saved takes the fear right out of dying. Huh? Right? I hope you feel that way. Being saved takes the fear right out of dying. Because we know where we're going. This is the hope we have in Christ. Takes the fear right out of dying. So he takes us all home tonight. See you up there. I'm telling you right now, it's a lot better than down here. That's the hope you have in Christ. God takes me today, fine. Well, he takes me 20 years. Well, I guess he's got more work for me to do. Fine. It takes the fear right out of dying when you know where you're going. Oh, I can't wait either. Man, I'm telling you right now, I said this before. I was just telling Michelle this the other day. We were reading in the Bible. We were reading a passage. And I said, there's nobody in heaven right now that if God said, hey, I'll give you a 3-day pass. You want to go back down to earth? Nope. Not one of them. Right? Not one would say, how about 7 days, God? I'll do it. No. They'd say, you know what? I'm staying right here. I've been in awe since I showed up. All your loved ones who died in Christ Jesus, they have been blown away since they got there. Blown away. What God say? 1 Corinthians 2:9, he says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor have entered into the heart of a man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. You know what that tells me? You're going to be blown away. You can think how great heaven is, angels everywhere, colors everywhere, everything, of Jesus right there. Wow, it's going to be even 10 times better. Nobody's coming back down here. You know what they're saying? We'll wait for him to come. Right? We'll just wait for him to get here. I ain't leaving this place. Oh, man. Let's look at our final verse, verse 8. It is a reminder from Paul to all those in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, he writes, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want to confirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things, look at this, these things are good and profitable to men. You know, Paul's saying, it's good for you to do good. That's what God's saying. Go be a light in a dark world. Right? A Christian life is not just forgiven, it's renewed and regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God in the heart of the believer. Right? Philippians 1:6, right? He, the Holy Spirit, who has begun a good work in you, is going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what that tells us? The work that God started in you, started in me, oh, he's going to complete it. He's going to complete it because whatever works Jesus starts, he finishes. Amen? He is going to finish it. Listen, for his plan, for his purpose, for his end goal, and for his glory. He's going to do that in you. He's going to do that in you. He's going to complete the work that he started when you surrendered your life to Christ, all in. I just want to leave you with two verses, and we'll close from the book of Romans. These are two verses you should highlight in your Bible and read often. The first one is Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, listen, who has been given to us. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 5:5. Here's the second one, then we'll close. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, not some, all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Oh, this is what you call blessed hope. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this blessed hope that you have given all of us in Christ Jesus. The blessed hope of eternal life. That we know where we're going after this life, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.